you so much, Andy. Thank you so much, Brian. And I just want to take this opportunity, because when I get going, I forget about other things. I just want to honor Pastor Trevor for having faith to invite me, and for treating us like the royalty that God has made us to be, and for which we're really grateful. And most of all, I want to say to all of you, because, you know, it doesn't matter who is here, if you're not there to respond and take from the hand of God, the Holy Spirit, then nothing happens. And I just want to honor every single person that has come, whether it was Sunday morning, Sunday evening, yesterday, this morning. It was so special with those ladies this morning. It really was. And now tonight, thank you for making the effort. You know, your presence is evidence that the Spirit of God is at work. You wouldn't be here, I believe, unless God had drawn you, you know? And I just want to say thank you to you, because, you know, any preacher depends absolutely on God, but also on you drawing the anointing out. And that's what I really, really have experienced these last few days here. I'm really excited. I just went up and gave Pastor Trevor a big hug, and I just realized just how excited my spirit is tonight. It's just amazing, absolutely amazing, you know. I mean, maybe I'll go to be with the Lord tomorrow, but I don't know. I want to make the most of now. God is a God of now. Now is the day of salvation, you know. We can't guarantee what we've got to come. So we've got to make the most of now. It really is. So I might going to ask you, if anybody hasn't had any of the books that I've got there on the table, that you might help me, because I don't really want to take all of them home with me, because I can't do on the plane. So is there anybody who doesn't know anything about these books? Some of you don't. Amen. Dare to be an eagle. Do you know what we're going to be talking about tonight, which is, I'm carrying on with the anointing, but tonight I'm going to emphasize the costly anointing, the priestly anointing, the anointing that will carry you into new authority, new experience of the supernatural. And really, this book about the eagle enables us to fly, you know? The anointing is like the feathers on the eagle that takes the eagle above the storms. And when we really get flowing with the anointing, I tell you, we'll go above our storms. We won't even notice them. We'll be so excited that it's going to take us higher. It's going to take us further. So this is all about the lifestyle of an eagle, that to take it to help us to be in the spirit morning, noon, and night. Amen? Then Dave said to me he had a dream. Was it a dream last night? Yeah, about vessels. You know, you and I are vessels. But it depends what we carry is what people get through us. You know, what we're going to pass on to everybody. Hi. And these are the different vessels in the Bible. And one of the vessels is the broken vessel. And it's about how in the Bible days the potter mended the broken vessel. Aren't you glad that God doesn't throw away broken vessels, you know? Because we've all been there. And if you haven't, I suggest you are not born again, because a broken vessel needs to be put back together again by the great potter. And God is the great potter. And in the Bible, it's an amazing truth that the potter actually uses the blood of bulls and goats to mend the actual vessels in biblical times. I won't tell you how he did that, but he does it. And then when we see Jesus coming and he sheds his blood, I tell you what, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that we are redeemed with the blood, not of bulls and goats, but the blood, the precious blood of the Savior of the world. Amen. So those are all about that. I haven't got any about the Holy Spirit left here now, so you're going to have to carry the Holy Spirit wherever you go. You don't need books if you've got the Spirit of God inside you. Amen. This is about the cross. And for some people, it's a story with our granddaughter who was severely anorexic, went into heart failure, and God asked me to write to her every single day. I didn't know how long she'd be in a psychiatric unit. Our hearts were breaking. But he said only the cross would bring her through. And the cross has brought her through. And that's our little story together. And God asked me to research through the Bible the different ways that the cross is hidden and it comes out, including the most bizarre chapter I think I've ever written in my whole life. Because God said that the cross was like my grandmother's big brown bag. And that's odd, to say the least. But there's a great mystery there, a great secret there about understanding the unlimited ways that God wants us to experience the cross in our lives. So they're there. I want to remind anybody, even at this late date, if anybody wants to book in for the conference, they're there. I do have each book on a USB. Am I right? I haven't said UCB, have I? No, right. Every book is now digital. And there are CDs as well there, I think, for most of them. But this you can plug into your computer or in your fancy car. Or I'm told if you have an adapter, you can put it into your phone as well. And God has made this possible. To me, it's a real miracle. I don't understand how digital works. I have no idea at all. Which one is this? I want to give it to you. Okay. You haven't. You've got a computer, though. Oh. Hallelujah. So, what I'm going to be talking about tonight, and, oh, first of all, yes, the Lord really said to me, how many people know that God did something last night to destroy a yoke in your life? Put your hands up. Come on. You know he did something. That gentleman there, what is your name? Des. Jazz.
Jazz.
Jazz. Jazz, I'm so sorry. Could you come up here? Because I want to tell you, your testimony is important. It's important that God knows that you believe it. And if you believe it, you can say it. So yes. You tell them what happened.
Well,
two minutes.
Well, right, okay, thank you. No. Well, I was just sitting there and Jill invited us up and you sit there and you think, well, what yokes have I got to break? And, I had a definite couple that came to me immediately and I stepped forward in faith because, you know, you have to do that with the Lord. And I think it's up to you, you know. You've got to decide whether you're going to take that step or not. And I stepped forward and started speaking to the Lord over these two yokes that I had. And I was overpowered. I just leapt up with joy. You know? I just really felt released. You know, it was really awesome. So I want to thank you, Jill, for inviting me forward.
Right, because I can't ask everybody now, those of you that put your hand up that know that God did something in your life last night, can you just put your hand up again? Okay, right. Will you just share on your table? Is there anybody here that has... Right, Jill, okay. I want you to share with the people because you've got to put it into words. Who? Anybody here? Right, Linda, okay, just share with the people. Anybody here? Just, okay, just share quickly with the people, okay? Hallelujah. Come on, you're giving glory to God for what he's done. And if you don't give glory to him, you could lose it. You could lose it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Doesn't have to be long. It just has to come from your heart. Hallelujah. So important we put into words what God does in our lives, and that we give him glory, we give testimony. We overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, and we love not our own life, even to the death, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen? Are you encouraged by hearing what somebody else... Did you hear? You couldn't hear? You did hear? Good. Okay. Right. Now, I'm going on tonight. Let me just gather you. Okay? On Sunday morning, we looked at the overwhelming, incredible goodness of God that God wants us to experience personally. Amen? And then from there, we came to the place where we needed to not just experience, but actually allow him to take us into another dimension on Sunday evening. Because, you know, God's supernatural power must be experienced. Everything of him, whether it's his love, his faithfulness, is something God wants us to experience. And if you can't experience it, you're never going to share it with anybody else at all. And you have to hold on to what God has done in your life, and I have to hold on to what he's done in my life. Amen? And then we came yesterday to talk about the anointing that destroys the yoke. We looked at quite a lot of biblical features of the anointing oil that all points to Calvary. Amen? And the anointing flows from Calvary. Okay? And you take it then, and you then begin to move in resurrection power. Amen? Because the anointing will take you from Calvary into a victorious lifestyle. Amen? And I believe this world around us deserves to see the body of Christ moving in victory. Not a victory that is pretense, but a victory that is real. And you can be real, even if somebody is totally devastated with pain or sickness. I've visited people that didn't have a life expectancy at all. And I've come back because they have been touching me with the presence of God. It's not to do with your circumstances. When you carry supernatural power, when you carry the anointing of God, it's irrespective of your circumstances and your situations. Amen? Because if you wait till everything is right, everything is in your eyes perfect, you're going to wait forever. Because we live in a world around us when things are not easy all the time. Amen? So the anointing we're talking about comes from within, works from within, draws the character of Christ from within, because we have the DNA of Christ within us. You know? Everything of the anointed one is within us when you're born again. Everything. But everything we have comes to us in seed form. That means it's got to grow, it's got to be watered, it's got to be nourished, and it's got to get the opportunity to flourish. Amen? So I'm going in towards tonight the costly anointing. And there is a difference. And the costly anointing comes from connecting in intimacy. So Skippy, can you just come with me here, darling? Thank you. Okay. And he has one particular song that he loves to sing. And you will bet. You will. Okay. Now, connecting with God is where the anointing comes, is nourished, and is released. Amen? The Bible tells us you have the anointing. That's in 1 John 2, verse 20, and 1 John 2, verse 27. You have that anointing. It's what I said last night, okay? But if you can smother it, or you can release it. And the way you release it is by connecting in intimacy. That's why worship is such an important thing, because it stirs us in our spirit man to the place where we can release the anointing. That's why, you know, whenever the anointing of the Holy Spirit begins to work, Worship just ushers in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Okay, darling? So just close your eyes. I don't want you. Yes,
please. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, okay. In the secret place of the Most High God, I will dwell in peace. In the secret place of the Most High God, I will dwell in peace. My refuge strong, my hiding place, in the midst of the storm, my refuge strong, my hiding place, in the midst of the storm, in the secret place of the Most High God, I will dwell in peace. In the secret place of the Most High God, I will dwell in peace. My refuge strong, my hiding place, in the midst of the storm, my refuge strong, my hiding place, in the midst of the storm, in the secret place of the Most High God, I will dwell in peace. In the secret place of the Most High God, I will dwell in peace. I will dwell in peace.
Just connect. When the anointing is flowing, there is a peace that passes all understanding. Let him breathe into you the breath of life. Cares, concerns, let them go. We talked about the burning heart. Let him kiss you. Let divinity meet with you and me in our fleshliness. And let him change us from glory to glory. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. The title that Trevor gave me was Empowering Lives. There is no other empowering of any of our lives except God is the source. He anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth and consecrated him with strength, with ability, and with power. And our lives need that. The anointing for walking in more power, walking in more strength, walking in more ability. And I mean, I'm not talking about natural abilities. I'm talking about divine abilities, supernatural giftings. It's the anointing that will draw them out of us, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We talked about having a burning heart, and that as long as you were any old bush, as long as the fire was deep inside you, then other people will be drawn to that fire. They don't want to see people burnt out. They don't want to see people burning with no purpose, but burning because God is in us. God is living in us. And he puts a passion within us. But when we talk about the costly anointing, there's another level. The anointing is within every one of you that are born again. No question about it. But as I said last night, even though you may be anointed, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Spirit of God rests upon you and the anointing is released through you. There has to be another level. And the another level is the costly anointing. It costs everything. And I'm just saying to the Lord today, please don't let people be afraid of saying yes, whatever, whenever, however. You see, if you have a desire to go higher, to see that anointed one glorified in your life and in my life, then the cost is everything. Because we follow the one that has given everything. God gave his son and never held him back at all. And because he gave his beloved son, he won't withhold anything from us. When Jesus gave everything on the cross, he didn't hold back. It cost him everything. Because he looked beyond the cross. He saw you there. He saw me there. He saw a bride that would one day satisfy the Son of God. Father looked beyond seeing his own son suffering. And he saw you and I drawn into a love relationship where we would be so enveloped. I love what the Passion says, that you have the anointing embedded into you. It's a beautiful word, embedded into you, you know? And yet Jesus could say, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. In John chapter 12, verse 24. And there is a time when God wants to break open that exterior, that part of us that can't hold the anointing in and yet tries to prevent it flowing. And that part of us has to break open. And the only way it can break open is because we say, yes, whatever, totally and completely, whatever. That's the costly anointing. And as I've been looking in the Word this afternoon, the Lord reminded me that, you know, David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? And he was anointed 3 times. And I believe that sometimes when we read the Word and we say and we see, you have the anointing, and we think, that's it, you know. But actually, it's just the beginning, the very, very beginning. That seed of the presence of the anointing is within us, and it needs to be cherished. It needs for that seed to break out, and the exterior of our lives given over to the costly anointing. And when David was just a boy, you know, Samuel heard the Lord and said, you know, go and anoint one of Jesse's sons. And I was asking the Lord today, why didn't you tell Samuel which one it was, you know? And often we wonder why we don't know everything. Well, I'm sure it's really simple. He wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. You know? And when we want answers that we're not meant to have, we wonder why he doesn't talk to us. But he says, come on, Jill, step out. This anointing is there. Step into it. Take that risk. Break off the exterior that wants to make you feel comfortable and in your comfort zone. I want to tell you that God at the moment is breaking us out of our comfort zones into a new sphere of anointing. Just let me tell you what happened to me in last April. A dear pastor that I work with, who's actually, some of you might know, not him, but you know who I'm talking about. Do you remember Mr. Pentecost? They used to call him Duplessis, you know? David Duplessis, yes, from South Africa. And he brought in a revival in the early days of the 60s, wasn't it, into the 70s. And he was absolutely vilified in his own country, and he had to fly and fled to the USA. But because he moved with the anointing, everywhere he went, he spread that anointing. Well, this lovely pastor is a great nephew of Mr. Pentecost, and he's a great man of God. I love his heart. And you know, whenever I'm there in his church in Liverpool, you know, I come to expect it now. He's the first one that comes and weeps on the floor. And when he's there as the leader, the people just come and they weep and they meet with God. You see, we have to lead from the front, eh? We're not being led by man. We're being led by the Holy Spirit. And it's just so beautiful to see. Anyway, this man of God, he rang me up and he said, I've heard from God. I said, oh, Gustav, that is really great, you know? He said, I'm not sure that you're going to like it. I didn't know what he was going to say, yeah? And he said, Joe, God has spoken to me that you're to do a youth conference. I said, a what? I mean, you've just heard how old I am, you know? And I said, no, Gustav, I think you've heard wrong on this occasion, you know? He said, Joe, I'm absolutely convinced that you should be doing this youth conference. He said, pray about it. And just in a moment, God says, this is my idea. It's not his idea. You know? So then I'm faced. Am I going to say yes? Or am I going to say no? You know? I am feeling extremely uncomfortable. What's more, he tells me that 90% of the youth that would be there were unchurched. They came from broken homes. They weren't born again. And the more I heard, the more uncomfortable I felt. I tell you what, he came and got me. We drove down to the residential weekend in Kevin Lee in Wales. And I tell you, God turned up. But did I feel comfortable? No. But the anointing was really comfortable with what was happening. Every one of them got born again. Every one of them got delivered from all sorts, shapes, and sizes. Every one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit. And some of them, they were from the age of, 14 through to 25, you know. And they were big, hunking young men in the early 20s. And they ended up by picking me up, swinging me around, and I mean, things that I had no idea that existed in the body of Christ, you know. But what I'm trying to say is the Holy Spirit was very comfortable. I didn't feel comfortable. And I had a choice whether I allowed that external part of me to give way to the anointing. And when I gave way, then there's fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen? And that has to happen. If you're going to move into the costly anointing, it'll take you beyond where you've been before. It'll take you into places that you possibly don't feel comfortable with. You know, if I'd asked for one person from every table to get up and prophesy over here, there are some people that would have flown. with it. Others, I hope she doesn't pick me. I don't know what I would say, Lord. You know, there is immediately a fleshly reaction to a challenge that is God. And the only the costly anointing will be allowed to flow when we say yes to him. And when David, a man after God's own heart, was anointed by Samuel, it was because Saul had lost the anointing. And I want to tell you, it is, if you don't treasure the anointing of the Holy Spirit in you, you are in danger of it being stolen, quenched, or even dissipated. It's real. We don't get the anointing for us. We don't move into the costly anointing for us. But it's to do the works that God has prepared for us to do, so that we fulfill our destiny. And in fulfilling our destiny, we release more of Jesus wherever we go. Amen? So the whole reason that David was chosen was because somebody else had lost it. I want you to reverence this costly anointing, because it can lift. I'm going to tell you something that really happened, and it's, I hope it puts the fear of God in all of us. Not long after I was born again and I was on fire for God, and I shared my testimony this morning, how when God sent me to Cape, I took me to heaven and then sent me back. And, you know, the word was alive all the time. And God gave me a dream. You know, I don't know how many of you go to bed and say, Lord, I'd like a dream tonight. Lord, I'd like revelation tonight. Something I don't expect. You know, I'm there asking him every single night. Now, sometimes I have and sometimes I haven't. But I'm asking. And I had a dream that night. And in the dream, the minister in the Methodist church where we were, who couldn't understand what had happened to this crazy woman, you know, I saw him kneeling in our kitchen and me laying hands on him and him getting filled with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, the Holy Spirit does teach us. The anointing teaches us. So I got hold of the women that were discipling me and mentoring me. And I said, I've had this dream. What do you think? And they were really wise. And they said, listen, if it's of God, it'll come about. You don't need to do anything. Just be willing. Just be willing. So I did. And I kind of forgot about it. Until 3 weeks later, when this minister, who was very liberally inclined, came into the kitchen and I began sharing what God had been talking to me about from the Word of God. And suddenly I saw him go quiet. He said, Jill, the Holy Spirit's just spoken to me. I need to kneel down in your kitchen and you need to lay hands on me. I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now I'm shaking. Yo, I mean, my dream is coming true before my very eyes, you know. And he was 6'7", wasn't he? And like a beanpole. And he knelt down. And I thought, I can't stand up. I better kneel down too. So I'm kneeling down there. I'm putting my hands on his head that high up because he's so tall. But the Spirit of God came upon him. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Praising God, I don't know how many, an hour and 2 hours, we were just praising God in the Spirit. And you know, everybody said, what has happened to him? He preached like he'd never preached before. And I just kept quiet and I thought, Lord, that's what you've done. You know, it's marvelous. And this went on for 6 weeks. After 6 weeks, something happened. And I went up to him because I knew him quite well by this time. I said, what's happened, Peter? You've lost that anointing. Where's it gone? This is what he told me. My wife didn't believe in being baptized in the Holy Spirit. She said I had to choose between her and God. I had to choose her. The awesome thing is that 5 years later, he was dead. You can't muck around with the anointing. You have to honor it. You have to give space to the anointed one. Was that God's best? No, I don't believe it was. I can't work these things out. All I know is that it put the fear of God into me to treasure the anointing. The Bible tells us that we have treasure in earthen vessels. Well, I know I'm an earthen vessel. And I suggest that all of you know you're an earthen vessel as well. However good you think you are, you're still an earthen vessel. We're on a journey, all of us. Yeah? But when you treasure the costly anointing that you get via Jesus Christ, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, it has to change your life. The very first thing that changed in Skippy's life when he came through was that he liked a particular television program. Can I tell them which one it was? Yeah. He liked Benny Hill. You know? And I used to go and pray in the other room, and I used to curse that program with all my heart and soul. But you know, when he came through for God, the very first night after he was born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, I don't like it. Turn it off. Hallelujah. What I'm saying, why I'm saying this is this. The anointing that we have, the costly anointing, has to lead us into godly, holy ways that you can't take lightly. You can't do the things. Many of you know Sarah Watkins. And she and I, we talk about this. I can't watch that. It just is something I can't. Now, somebody else might not have that feeling, you know. But for me, I treasure the anointing. I cannot afford to lose it. Because I am nothing without it. That's for sure. So you've got the idea. You need to treasure the anointing. That is costly. And do you know what? People won't always understand, will they? Have you found so? People won't necessarily understand. When we gave up the leadership of our church, and we took advice and everything, we did it as right as we possibly could, our family said, you can't do that. And they were really angry with us for doing that. Now they understand perfectly, you know. But we had to walk past our family not understanding us because the anointing had told us to lay down the leadership. We wouldn't be traveling now if we had listened to our family instead of listening to God. The holy anointing is costly, and it has to and must change our lives so that we see things differently, we walk differently. You know, do you remember, who was it, who was it that went and he met with God and he had a limp, what was it, Jacob, yeah. Everybody could see that he'd met with God because he walked differently. Now, I'm not suggesting that you walk with a limp, I am not saying that, but I am saying that the costly anointing will cause us to walk differently, talk differently, listen more acutely, see more beautifully. It's a costly, costly anointing. Never lose sight of where it's come from. It's come from the cross. It's come from extreme pain, extreme suffering, because of the joy that was set. What's it? It says in Hebrews chapter 12, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Y'all? There was a joy. And, you know, we were laughing at the table. It's all right, I'm not going to go down that road. But, you know, laughter. We laughed, didn't we, last night, those of you that were here, you know. The most amazing, I'm telling people how I'm determined to keep my peace no matter what happens. And I said how my teeth have fallen out and they broke in Kenya. And suddenly, Trevor comes out, by gum, he says, you know. And I thought it was fantastic. I really did. You know, but listen, Laughter is part of the anointing. I told Juanita, when I was a young Christian and even before, I never had a sense of humour. Now it's a bit different to most people's. And I don't always understand other people, Skippy's sense of humour. But, you know, I find I laugh more than I've ever laughed before. And, you know, the Lord laughs in the heavens. So if he laughs, he's tickled sometimes with our stupidities. He's tickled that we get so upset about things that we can't see the answer to. But the holy, costly anointing will give you a joy. It will give you a joy that will be your strength. You know, somebody said to me, you know, as is your strength, so shall be your days. You know, well, I don't, strength and joy go together. And the more joy I have, the stronger I am. And I really know that God wants us to experience this costly anointing that gives us a joy. You know, every one of us, we say, oh, I need your peace, Lord, in this situation. How many times have we actually said, Lord, I need your joy in this situation? You know, it's not something that we normally ask for because we don't really value it. But it's part of the costly anointing, the joy that was set before our Jesus. It took him through the cross. It took him into resurrection. It took him out from this world, and he paved a way and made a stairway so that all of us would go into glory one day. Hallelujah. What the costly anointing does, it's amazing. It's amazing. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. So I was looking at this today, and I was thinking about it. David's first, he was anointed three times. The first anointing that you or I will have is similar to David. It's to do with potential. And it comes as a seed. Now, I don't know what your potential is. But you have the anointing of the anointed one in you to show you that potential. And then there's a training time. Remember? David had to learn how to deal with his enemies that were round about him. The bear. The lion. You know, if you think that the costly anointing will mean that you don't have any problems, forget it, forget it. They're around, but how do you deal with them? Do you deal with them in your flesh, or do you deal with them in the anointing? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now I want to tell you, we had a person that we pastored, and God gave her a gift of faith in the anointing that her garden wouldn't have any weeds. No weeds at all. Now, did they not spring up? No. But every time a little weed came up, she would curse it, command that it leave her. She'd pull it up and take away the roots and no more. Until in the end, after about 18 months, that garden was weed free. Because God was training her to use the anointing in something really simple. Well, you might think it's simple. I don't think it's simple, actually. But what I'm saying is this, the first anointing we have, you will have to learn how to use it. Use it in your own circumstances. You know, that when you wake up, and I'm not speaking this out either for myself or anybody else, and you think, my throat is really sore. The moment you speak it out, you're giving place to that. Or you see it, you feel it, and you say, no way, this is not my portion. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. You get out of me. I'm not having it in the name of Jesus. You have to learn to use the costly anointing in your own life before it will work through you into others. David had to learn it. The potential of the costly anointing comes, and it depends. Maybe you don't use it. Well, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And it won't grow. It won't grow. And many, many people don't walk in the anointing because they've never used and the costly anointing. Every experience that you have is an opportunity to release God into a situation. We're very good at moaning and groaning at God. But he's saying, listen, I put that anointing within you. Why don't you use it? Now, our daughter-in-law is an amazing woman of God. But she had a gap in her experience how to release healing. But she came to the Lord and she said, Lord, I believe the costly anointing releases healing. Will you teach me? Yeah, that's quite simple, isn't it? And the Holy Spirit does teach her. Do you know what happened? Their cat got ill. I mean, really badly ill. They had no money at all. They went to the vet and it was going to be over £1,000 for a stupid little cat, you know? Sorry if you're a cat lover. I love cats, actually. But, you know, they had no means of dealing with it in the normal way. And then suddenly she woke up and the Holy Spirit said, what about the anointing that I put within you? That by the stripes of Jesus you have been healed. Now you practice it on your cat. And she did, day in, day out. And did the cat get better? Totally better, and is still living now. And this is about 12 years ago. You know? But what happened to her was she got faith. She got faith because she'd allowed the anointing to move her into a new place with God. You have to, when you are anointed, you have potential. But if you don't use the potential, you lose it. Amen? Or else it becomes so dormant that you're not sure that it's there. Right, well, David had that. And then you go through his life. See all the problems he had. The things he failed in as well. You know, he wasn't perfect. We only have one perfect one, and that's his name is Jesus. Amen? But we are to look at the people in the Bible as our examples of what we can learn from them. And when he got to the place, it tells us, and I'm reading it all this afternoon, and it says, the enemies got weaker and David got stronger. And when you release the anointing in your life, that holy, holy, costly anointing, you will get stronger. And the enemy will get weaker. And when he came eventually to Hebron, he was anointed again. He had a small area, not a big area. And you know, the costly anointing wants to get us to the place where we are using authority over our situations, over our families, over our circumstances. David was anointed again for that area. It was what we call a priestly, it was kind of like a princely anointing. You know, the first is a potential. The second is a princely anointing because he wasn't ruling over everything. He was ruling over a certain portion. And every one of us, when we have the costly anointing and we value it, we are to rule over the areas that God gives us. Amen? First of all, you're working it out in your own life. And then you take your step into a greater dimension. And the anointing comes upon you with more authority. Again, you have to use this authority. And then eventually, what happened with David? He was anointed a third time. And this time it was over the whole of God's people in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem always represents the presence of God. He now knew how to respect and honor and move in the costly anointing. And the very first thing he had to do was get rid of the Jebusites, because they were the ones that were hidden there. And I tell you, in our lives, some people might find this difficult. But when God is moving in power, that's when the enemies try to wheedle in, you know, between in relationships, between you're going for God. You've said, God, yes, anything, anywhere. And then suddenly you don't have any finance. And you really believe in tithing. But now you're faced an enemy's coming in to steal, to challenge your authority. And many people go under at that point. Instead of saying, I've got the anointing, you get out. I have all provision. My Jesus has given it all to me. If I can see it, great. If I can't see it, don't care. I believe that what he's given me is truer than what I can see. There's a higher truth. When you move in the costly anointing, there's a higher truth than what you can see and what you can experience. And that's when you begin to move in an authority that is from above. And you need to be a person under authority then. Jesus was a man that was seen to be under authority. Amen? So we need to value the costly anointing. And that third anointing is called the kingly anointing. You see, that's what David had, wasn't he? He was anointed as king over the whole of God's people. Amen? How many kings do we have here? Oh my goodness, don't you know your word? Yeah. We are kings and priests and to our God. The anointing we have should exercise who we are because of what Christ has done. We are to reign in life as kings. Reign over our situations. Reign over the things that there that come to kill, to steal. You know, I don't know, where were you, Anita? Were you here? No, she was, I know. But you know, this morning, I was telling the ladies, I had a message at 8 o'clock this morning that a young girl, for the second time, had tried and had attempted suicide. And when Anita and I got together, she just had a message that her friend's daughter had attempted it as well, Evangeline. Joe, and we stood together and we said, no, in Jesus' name, we're not going to have these young girls stolen away. And there's something, Skippy knows this, there's something that rises up inside me and I get mad with the devil. The problem is that very often we get mad with God because we're blaming him or we blame people. Listen, you are entitled to get mad with the devil because he's the one that kills, steals, and destroys. Amen? And we stumped and said, no, devil, you're not going to take these two young lives. Today, that's today. You can sit down and think, oh, Lord, please, will you do something? And he said, look, you have the anointing. You have the authority. It's a kingly authority. You are to establish the fact that you rule and reign over the powers of darkness. You don't rule and reign over people. You rule and reign over the principalities and the powers. We don't fight flesh and blood. We fight principalities and powers. When you get to that third anointing, that costly anointing, then you must rise up in your spirit and take authority on that that is encroaching on what God has given to us through the cross. And there is a godly indignance. I get really indignant with the enemy. I really did. You know, and he laughs at me when I get like, but it's something that happens on the inside of me. How dare he? How dare he? Yes. So, Where are you with this costly anointing? Potential? Princely? Over a small area? Or are you beginning to rule as kings and reign in life? It's a kingly, special anointing that God gives us to fulfill the calling on our lives. Because I'm telling you, the enemy will try to stop that. I think it was Hazel when we were with you yesterday, and she was saying about Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I remember the day that I was in Bible college when I was so desperate, didn't know how a thing was going to work out. And God gave me that scripture as well. You kill me, Lord, I'll still trust you. You know, Job had to get to that place. I had to get to that place. But something happens on the inside. And there's a rising up. The costly anointing begins to flow. And as I've looked through the word today, and you know, Skip, yeah, if some people you're kind enough to say, I've got energy, okay. But he says, sometimes I see her and she hasn't got energy. You know, well, that's true for all of us, okay? But do you know what he says to me? Jill, get in the word quick. Put some worship on, quick. You know, because he knows what sparks my spirit. You know, it's the word, it's worship. And I tell you today, as I went into the word, do you know, God showed me that this costly anointing is, you can't understand it in the natural. This is, it's a supernatural anointing that costs everything. And I was thinking about Gideon. Everybody know about Gideon? You know, he was the least. And God comes and tells him when he's hiding in a wine press, trying to get the chaff out underground, which you can't possibly do. And he's feeling all sorry for himself. And the angel of the Lord comes and says, oh, mighty man of valor. Well, that wasn't what he was feeling. That wasn't what he was experiencing. But you see, God doesn't go according to what we're feeling or what we're experiencing. He goes according to his plans and how he sees our lives. And he saw Gideon's potential. And that anointing he conveyed to him by speaking out the word. And you know, I said last night, and I hope all of you have said it, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. If you want to move in the anointing, you need to speak it out over yourself, over those you love. Amen? Let the anointing destroy the yoke on those you love, those that you see that are bound. Amen? So here is God speaking out of the anointing over Gideon. You're going to deliver all God's people from all the Midianites at the time. And there were thousands and thousands of them. Do you know the first thing he had to do? Deal with his own family in his own backyard. You read it in Judges chapter 6. He had to deal. And it's the same thing. When you have potential with a costly anointing, you have to deal in your own backyard. When you've done that, then it says that the Lord clothed Gideon with himself. Isn't that lovely? Clothed. Be clothed with the presence of God, wrapped around with his amazing presence all the time. And God says to him, go, and you will defeat the Midianites as a one man. So do you know what he did, Gideon? He did what all of us would have done. He summoned everybody he could think of. Come and help me. And, you know, maybe you don't do that, but you might say, I need your prayer. Come with me. Stand with me. You know, let's get together. Let's see what God can do when we really come together, you know. That's what Gideon did. He got everybody. And there was over 20,000 people all said, oh, we're with you, Gideon. We're with you. You know, sometimes I think to myself, that's it, Lord. I've got it all together. Those people are for me. Those people are understanding me. You know? Then he says, Jill, it's not like that at all. You know what? The Lord came to Gideon and said, you've got too many people. Get rid of them. Do you know what he said? Everybody that is fearful of the enemy, go home. And he sent them all home. Thousands of them. And he was left with about 10,000. Can't remember the number exactly. You know? And I'm sure he thought, I've done it, Lord. Oh, it was difficult, Lord, but I did it. I did it, you know. And the Lord said, you're still too many. Get rid of them again. Well, how, Lord? How can I possibly know which ones to get rid of this one? I've sent all the ones that are afraid away. So all of these are real good warriors, Lord. No, you still got too many. Go down to the river. And those people that lap the water with their tongue, you choose them. And the ones that go down and they use their hands to cup the water and drink like that, send all of those home. It doesn't make sense. When you move in the anointing, don't think you're going to be able to understand it. Just do it. Amen. The thing is to have God for you. When you've got God for you, you've got everything. You've got everything. It's lovely when we have people with us. It's lovely. You know, Del was saying how wonderful it is having you alongside her now on fire for God, you know. It's wonderful, you know. But there were all those years before where she nipped into that secret place and connected with the anointed one. That's what we have to do. Hallelujah. And you know, when Gideon went out with just 300 people, that's all he had. The Lord told him, divide them into threes. So there's 100 there, 100 there, and 100 there. And then he said, no swords. You don't need to fight with a sword at all. Just take a trumpet in your right hand and a pitcher with a lamp. But the pitcher had to have fire in it. Hello? Coming back to that burning heart again, aren't we, Mary? Hallelujah. And he said, I'm listening to God. You do what I want, what I do. And when I blow, you blow. When I smash the outer case and show the light and the fire in the left hand, then you shout, hallelujah, for God and for Gideon. I don't know whether you like shouting, but I tell you, you're going to have to learn to shout. The anointed one has a shout. Go and follow the shout right through the Bible and see how many times a shout brought victory round the walls of Jericho, and they shouted and the walls fell down. I remember saying this to one young man. He said, it's really not my personality to shout, you know. I said, try it and see. He said, where do you suggest? I said, I suggest you go out into the countryside somewhere so you won't frighten anybody. Yeah? I tell you what, he came back totally and absolutely different, because that shout came from his inner belly. And when he shouted, he experienced the costly anointing coming, freeing him. You know, that's what has to happen to us. And when, do you know what that happened with Gideon? When they broke the pitchers and the fire was seen and the trumpets blew and the shout came out, all the enemy started fighting each other. They didn't have to fight the enemy. And when they saw what was happening, then they went after them. They went after them and they got them. There are things that we have to do to release this costly anointing. And it'll take you out of your comfort zone. It'll take you to a place where you've probably never been before. But if you're hungry, and there are a number of people that have said to me, I'm here tonight because I'm hungry. Hunger can be used by God, or it can be used by the enemy. Depends what you feed on. Hello? If you're here to be tickled with your fancy just by what is preached, or just because of the lovely songs that we have there, that's not going to feed you. You've got the anointed one within you, and he's the one that will feed you. He's the one that you can glorify. He's the one that will give you the victory. He's the one that will teach you. He's the one that has the costly anointing, and you get it from the secret place of connecting with him. Oh Lord, when that happens and he tells you to do something, please will you do it? Amen. Somebody, I really admire them, this morning came up to me before she left. She was from another church. Totally wonderful. Delhi did a fantastic job, and Elizabeth and Hazel, in inviting people there. Amazing. Really good. You know? But this lady came up to me and she said, I've got to go now. I said, oh, bye. Give me a hug, yeah? No, she said, you don't realize I've got to go and do something. The Holy Spirit has told me I have to put something right. Hello? The Holy Spirit will teach us how to flow in the anointing. And if things aren't right, then they need to be put right. And you never know how important it is. I was in a meeting several years ago, and God put it on my heart to write a letter to my mother and to appreciate her. She had resisted the gospel for years. She was really mad and angry with me because she blamed me for leading my sister away from her control. And my sister and my brother-in-law planted a church, and they've been pastors for 35 years now. And my mum was not pleased because she knew the day my sister got born again and filled with the Spirit, my mum rang her up and said, I've lost control of you. She knew. The devil knew. But I tell you what, I lost it. I can't think which way I'm going now. Lord, help me. Oh, yes, I wrote a letter. And God said to me to appreciate her. And I said, yes, you know, I will. And I was writing down all the things that I could think of that she had done that was such a blessing. Like looking after three kids in the war when there was hardly any food. Always putting herself last. Doing things like working as a judge. She was a judge and magistrate. And she initiated the marriage reconciliation service that still exists today. And, you know, she got houses of drug rehabilitation places called after her. She got an MBE and then an OBE. You know, she was at the garden. And I appreciated all these things. And do you know what I said? I said, Mum, I honor you for all you've done for society. Fantastic. I'll never do what you've done. The only difference is that the little that I might do, I give glory to God. And you can't do that because you don't believe in him. And she wrote back and she said, you're right. 4 weeks later, she was in intensive care, and she came through for God. I'm so glad I did it. When God says under the anointing that you're to do something, you don't know how it's going to really have an effect. I tell you, the anointing, the costly anointing, has to be released and comes with obedience. Oh, Father. Right. I'm just going to give you what the anointing does. Psalm 92, verse 10. This is what it does for you. And if you can't get excited and want this, I don't know what else to do. Psalm 92, verse 10. Your anointing has made me strong and mighty. Hello? Anybody want to be strong and mighty? Because you can give God glory then, okay? You've empowered my life for triumph by pouring fresh oil over me. David was anointed 3 times, but he kept saying, I'm anointed with fresh oil. And you need to continually be anointed. You know, I can't run on yesterday's anointing. I have to have a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit every single day. Otherwise, it doesn't come with life at all. So this is what the anointing brings. It brings us new vision. New vision. It tells us here, he said that those lying in wait to pounce on me would be defeated, and now it's happened right in front of my eyes, and I've heard their cries of surrender. Yes, look how you've made all your lovers flourish like palm trees, each one growing in victory. Oh Lord, that's what the costly anointing does. It makes us flourish. You know? Flourish. That's good, isn't it? You know? It makes us grow in victory. We don't want to be those that are under the circumstances. We want to be those that are above the circumstances so that we grow in victory. Amen? Standing with strength, transplanting them into your heavenly courtyard. Oh, you know, I expect you know the word. He has transferred you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the beloved Son of God. He's done it. But the anointing is what will keep us there. We're not going to slide back, are we? We're going to go on and press towards that prize of that high calling in Christ Jesus, as Paul said. And he said that in prison in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I press towards the prize of the high calling. You know, it's up to you. God's done it all. And then he says here, where we are thriving before you. Oh, thriving, you know. Thriving. Come on. Don't you think that's good? Don't you want to thrive? Thrive in your prayers. Thrive in your relationships. Thrive in your health. Thrive in business. Thrive in your family, you know. The anointing does this. The anointing does this. For in your presence, I will overflow and be anointed. Overflowing. Even in their, oh, I love this. Even in their old age, they'll stay fresh. Stay fresh, amen. Stay fresh. Yes. Bearing luscious fruit and abiding faithfully. Listen to them with pleasure so that you still proclaim. We've got to be proclaimers. We got to proclaim the good news of the gospel, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And then I love this. It says, you're so good. You are my beautiful strength. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, my strength isn't in me. My strength is in my God and the anointed one that lives within me. Amen. And I love it. You've never made a mistake with me. Oh my, we make mistakes, don't we? But God is bigger than our mistakes. He hasn't made a mistake with you or with me, because he knows how he can turn it for good. He knows his redemptive powers. So these are the things that I pulled up. You have the anointing brings new vision. It opens your ears so that you will hear his voice. I don't know about you leaders, but I meet a lot of people and they say to me, I don't hear God. And sometimes they say, I don't hear God like you do. I said, you do hear him, but you just don't recognize his voice because he speaks in a million different ways. Amen? So our ears will hear his voice. That's what the anointing does. You will flourish. And God spoke to me. The Old Testament is our root system. We draw nourishment up from the root system of the Old Testament. But you know, you'll never get any plant flourishing unless its roots are good and it goes down deep. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians that we have to be, our roots go down deep into the love of God. Amen? Check your root system. Learn from the Old Testament. See what mistakes they've made and avoid them. Avoid them. Then it says the anointing brings growth. There's nothing more sad, in my opinion, than to see an adult that is stunted in growth. It's sad, isn't it? We know it's not what's meant to be. And yet, I don't know which night it was or when it was, we were saying about being a child. Oh, I know. I'm no longer a slave. I'm a child of God. And I really felt the Holy Spirit say to me, it's time for children to grow up. Grow up. Stop getting offended. Stop avoiding confrontation. Stop trying to pussyfoot around. You know, well, I won't go down that road. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying here, it's time for us to grow. The anointing brings growth into our lives. And then the anointing plants you. We are to be planted. How many times are people that swing from one church to another church? And I'm all for mixing up and coming together. But we need to have loyalty. We need to be planted. We need to know where we're accountable. You know, I'm going tomorrow with my beautiful friends that I'm accountable to. And we're just looking forward to connecting. You know, I'm planted in them. I'm really planted in them. And we have to be people that are planted. Listen, with all this wind, outside the Orwell Hotel, there's a big tree and it's put like that. No, it hasn't come down completely, but it looks as if it's on its way. And I think that's like it is with some Christians. We look as if we've been knocked about and we're on our way down. Amen. Amen. Listen. Oh, where is it? Here. Listen, we need to be planted. Planted in the Word. Planted in His love. Planted in the assurance of who He says we are. And there we bear fruit. The Bible says in John 15, verse 16, that He has chosen us to go and bear much fruit. Yeah? And some people say, oh Lord, I don't know if it's a bit sort of proud if I'm asking to bear some fruit. For goodness sake, let's get real with the Word of God. If He wants fruit and much fruit, Lord, I am able to say, Lord, the more fruit You can bring through my life, the more I can give You glory. Amen? It's not for me, because I know I can't bear any fruit, but for Him, I want to bear fruit. I want Him to be pleased. Amen? And I love this. The anointing will bring you spiritual vitality. Woof! Spiritual. I've just realized who you are. Oh, darling. Oh, I'm so... I'm sorry. Carrie, I love you. Oops. So, spiritual vitality. And the seventh, these are all the seven things from that psalm that the anointing brings. It brings a legacy that you leave behind you. Hello, hello. Do you know, I'm in the process now of starting to write letters to my children and my grandchildren so that when I go, I'm leaving a legacy behind. Not just of what I do, but I want them to know what I love. That I love them.